Many of us drop off used clothing at our favorite nonprofits, hoping our old jeans and sweaters will find a new home with someone else. But what happens when those items aren't sold? Do the donations end up in the landfill? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Ohio Valley Goodwill Industries has a new effort to recycle the textiles that its stores don't sell. Joining me now to explain that program and discuss sustainable fashion design are Ohio Valley Goodwill Industries President and CEO Mark Heemstra and Ohio Valley Goodwill Soft Goods and Salvage Supervisor James McGee. Thanks for being here, Mark and James.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And University of Cincinnati Sustainable Fashion Initiative student lead Wesley Beisel. Welcome to the program, Wesley.
Thank you.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Edition. Nope, that's wrong. Of Cincinnati Public Radio. They don't just support us. So, Mark, tell me, walk us through the amount of clothing and textile donations that Goodwill receives each year. How much are we talking about?
Millions and millions of pounds. I know that's really vague. We actually have 20 retail stores and one outlet that we just opened last Friday on November 1st, where we collect donations. And then we have another 10 or 12 attended donation centers that we accumulate those donations. As far as the recycling of materials, there's about 44 million pounds on an annual basis, and up to just in the outlet that we opened last Friday, 25,000 pounds a day.
Wow. James, what kind of condition are the clothes in? I guess I'm wondering what percentage of the clothes that are donated can you attempt to sell, or are there some that are just kind of a mess?
No, anywhere from between 50 to 65% are sellable.
Oh, great.
Those are still going to make their way back to us, so we need to make sure that we process those correctly.
Yeah. James, is there anything you wish people just would stop dropping off?
No.
Drop away. Bring it all.
We don't want your garbage, obviously, but drop it. We're here for you.
Okay. Mark, you mentioned this new outlet store. What happens to the clothing and other textiles that aren't sold in the retail stores that people are most familiar with? What role does this new outlet store play in all that?
So if the items are either deemed unsaleable in the store, so we don't put anything out that has stains, rips, tears, missing buttons, broken zippers, or it doesn't sell in the store, it goes through a cycle. Everything's brand new every 4 weeks in a store, so we go through a rotation of product. It will then end up in this outlet where James's team will take the textiles and put them out into these big, large, we call them boats, tables that we roll out onto a sales floor where we have a variety of folks for a variety of reasons shopping where it's sold by the pound. We'll end up in that facility alone recycling about 25,000 pounds a day.
So this is the big bargain shopping if you're buying it by the pound.
It doesn't get cheaper unless you want to buy it by an 1,100-pound bale.
That doesn't seem like something most people would want to do. Wesley, I want to talk about waste in the fashion industry. How much waste does the industry create each year or generally? I mean, I understand that a lot of water and energy goes into creating the fashion that we all know and love.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the most heavily polluting industries globally. It's very hard to be 100% sustainable in fashion. And especially fast fashion has been heavily contributing to that. You know, they don't even contribute to just textile waste. They contribute to plastic pollution and everything. I don't have a number, but it's a very big
amount. Yeah.
The numbers that we get from the Environmental Protection Agency is that 85% of all textiles currently are ending up in a landfill. So as generous as Cincinnati is in contributing to our organization, there's still estimates of 85% of the total product produced ends up in the landfill. Mount Ronke, I suppose.
Wow. Well, we're talking about a new effort to recycle used clothing and the push for more sustainable fashion. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Wesley, how does the Sustainable Fashion Initiative at UC aim to address that? I guess I wonder, are there some students who are using goods and fabrics that they find at places like Goodwill stores to create something new and fabulous?
Yeah, I feel like SFI itself is a tiny version of the industry. You know, we want to get every student in the fashion program to put their unused scraps in the closet. And then we have our group, the SFI students, who help sort that fabric. And hopefully the stuff that we sort and deem as usable will be taken back by other students to use in more projects. And then hopefully now we'll get the stuff that we can't use sent to be recycled with Goodwill.
Oh, okay. James, so clothing is sold by the pound at this new Goodwill outlet store. What happens to the clothing and textiles that don't get sold? And could you scoot just a little bit closer to your microphone?
the clothes will go through the outlet. If it's not sold there, it'll go sent out to different vendors that we partner with locally and overseas to go help those communities out where they're less fortunate and they don't have the clothing stores as we do here in America to be able to purchase those clothing items.
Yeah. And do you end up baling some of these? I mean, Mark was just talking about the 1,100-pound bales. Talk about that process, how that works.
Absolutely. A table will come directly off of our outlet retail floor, go straight to a baler. Well, that baler will tip, have a tipper that will tip into our baler, where that baler will do its job, where that bale will come out weighing anywhere from 900 to 1,200 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. And then what happens to those fabric bales that are created?
Once they get offloaded, those buyers then will sort through them themselves, finding out, again, the same process we did, what they can use, what they can't use. So just for example, if something's going to Pakistan, they don't need a winter coat. They're going to sort out what they can use, what they can't use. What they can't use, they will sell off. What they can use, they will sell in their own local markets, or they will sell things back to America. Those things will get recycled and turned into, you know, your Starbucks coffee cup, your Dunkin' coffee cup, your McDonald's bag, and et cetera.
Yeah. Mark, how is Goodwill involved in that recycling step of the process? I mean, it sounds like there is some stuff that you collect that goes to recycling partners instead of directly to other countries or whatever. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. Well, we look at ourselves as the original recycler as an organization. We started in 1902, Methodist minister, going door to door, collecting items that folks didn't necessarily want or had continued use for, and made it available for Irish immigrants in Boston, Massachusetts. And from there, we came to be in 1916 in Ohio Valley. As we bring the product in, the first method is reuse, right? Folks that are, I think, made it somewhat trendy and cool to come and shop in our stores. And when Wesley was talking about their program, and we want to know how much that may impact, or, well, until it becomes cool and I guess even break even, you know, and as we try to find different ways to fully repurpose or reuse or recycle items, there's programs like that need to initiate and then grow from there, similar to us. And so as it comes through, first line of is sale in the retail stores. When it comes back, there are, and James mentioned, people that will buy those bales, they'll take them to a sort house where they'll separate different types of materials. There's technology right now in the UK, big pieces of equipment where it's, a lot of that's automated. So you'll lay out a piece of maybe a shirt on a conveyor belt. It'll go underneath a reader. And then as it goes down the conveyor belt, there'll be blowers that blow off into different product type separated so that they can then go and use it for something else. Talk about the use of plastics, well, and polyester. Polyester is a really high percentage of plastics. And so how do we then use those types of materials for more useful things? Like polyester in your automobile, for example, that shredded insulation in your firewall at the foot where your gas pedal goes, that's recycled polyester that goes in there. So there's all kinds of uses for it. Right now, it's just it's like solar, right? How do we get to a point where we can at least break even in diverting? What we want to do, we're recycling electronics, luggage, shoes, belts, purses, textiles. Ideally, what we'd like to do is look at possibly in our operation, introducing a glass pulverizer so that we're not then moving glass into landfill, and glass in its origin is sand, right? So if we can get that so finely ground, we can then reintroduce it into the community in different ways.
Wesley, you're a student, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Is shopping at Goodwill cool for you and your classmates? Do you think that is that a growing trend among young people?
I would say so. I think any kind of thrift shop like that. I personally love to thrift. I think the pants I'm wearing today, I thrifted. Most of my closet is thrifted stuff. I think you find some of your favorite pieces there.
Yeah. Okay. Mark, I want to ask you another question about this recycling piece of things, because there are a lot of concerns about kind of greenwashing. So how does Goodwill make sure that your recycling partners are really recycling this material and it doesn't still just end up in a landfill somewhere?
I think James would probably be a better
James,
source
you're the,
for that.
You're the person.
He does the vetting process.
I am. So with a couple of our different vendors that we deal with overseas, they've actually showed, let's just take Pakistan, for instance, one of our biggest buyers. They've sent us where from they deal with Home Depot and Lowe's, where those shop rags that every mechanic uses, they showed that those come from them for their facility. What they can't use. Our other buyers are also showing us just the impact. What we think is trash, I hate that word, but what we think is trash, it's not for somebody else. That it's a usable fabric that somebody can use, whether it could be to make a pillow or a sheet or a gown.
Yeah, it's kind of the one person's trash is another person's treasure, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Or it falls back to the still the same thing, the two R's, recycle, reuse.
Mm-hmm. Mark, do you have a sense for the percentage of clothing and textile materials that Goodwill's recycling now and kind of what the goal is? Because I understand you want to really push that goal higher.
Yeah. As far as where we want to go, I believe that our territory, we go all the way up to just south of Middletown. We go down to Crittenden in Kentucky, over to Hillsboro, and then we have a portion of Indiana in our region. And I think that our region really... if we look at and say, how do we best create a convenient environment for folks to donate as opposed to putting that 85% into the trash? So we're going to expand and create additional opportunities for people to donate, probably closer to 40. We're currently at around 2021. When we look at how we best utilize those pieces of material, and we talk about thrifting, you know, in certain groups has a negative connotation. And if we were to look at it as more repurposing, right? I remember when I had my son initially, we got clothes from his mom's friends, and that was okay, you know. And actually, there's greater choices. There's gold in every place you look when you go into a retail store. What's real fun about the outlet that we talked about is that's its last stop, and there is just really some really great things there. I think that to increase that right now, I would rather look at it as repurposing, really, when we're talking about it, as opposed to thrifting but creating better opportunities for people to donate and then giving more opportunities for people to purchase so it gets back into the mainstream in use.
Yeah. Wesley, how big an issue is sustainability for fashion designers in training? Is it becoming a bigger priority, you think, for young people and even established designers who've been in the business because of all this waste that the industry creates?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I know a lot of people, when we're doing like projects at DAP, they want to say their fabrics they choose are like sourced sustainably, but nobody really knows what exactly goes into that. And so I think starting small, especially with like SFI, is a great place to start, because if you look closer, a lot of like big name fashion brands don't really do much to contribute to being more sustainable. So I think starting now and starting with the future of designers is a great place to start.
Yeah. And you mentioned SFI, that's the Sustainable Fashion Initiative at UC, where you're the student lead. What are the best fabrics and fibers to use if you're going to reuse something, repurpose something that you found at a thrift store or that you know, maybe scraps that the fabric store has piled in a corner or something? I'm a Project Runway fan, so I always watch how there are some designers who go to Mood and say, I only want to look through your cast-offs. What are the best types of fabric to really use for that?
I know we get a lot of cotton and mainly like a lot of 100% cotton. I always think that's the easiest stuff to work with because it will kind of go through any sewing machine we have at DAP. And it's just very easy to work with as well. So, yeah, cotton is probably the easiest to work with.
Yeah. Are there some that are just the worst that are really, really hard to work with?
We'll get some like tulle or like meshy fabrics that I feel like always get ripped up in our bin, and it's just, they never end up being reused, which is, as always, a pain.
Yeah. What are the fabrics that you've learned about that you look into that are really worse for the environment? We talked about how polyester is really just plastic. Are they those kind of synthetic blends? What are you trying to avoid when it comes to being sustainable?
Anything that's like obviously 100% polyester, 100% man-made fabric, I always feel like is never the best choice, because you can always do more research to find a better fabric. Although it might be more expensive, I always think in the long run, it ends up being better.
Because it lasts longer.
And yeah.
Yeah. You can turn it into something else if you've got the mad skills of a fashion designer. Yeah. Mark, you were talking about some of the things that these recycled textiles get made into. You mentioned, you know, car stuff. What are some of the other products that can be created out of recycled textiles?
I've seen in different uses where they're cut up and re-sewn into bags. So I spent some time in Austin, and we had done some pilot projects around taking those fabrics, sewing them together, and then creating, because they had a ban the bag initiative down there. We're trying to find different ways. The challenge with that project was that folks don't tend to wash those bags. And so you're putting fresh vegetables and fruits. And so it was a great project, I think. But I don't think that that's the ideal project as we go to move forward. Ideally, it's the fashion, right? I mean, we're changing it up a little bit and it looks a little different. The Project Runway example is fantastic. What a really great example of how folks are looking at something that they don't deem usable and turning it into something that people really, really want.
Yeah. James, you talked about, I know you're the person who's got the links with these recyclers and these suppliers. I understand sometimes this stuff can even be turned into insulation and just other products completely. Is that, do you all see that happening or read about that happening?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We got an email from Maria. Maria emails, I would like to know the best way to recycle fabrics that can't be donated. Old socks, undershirts with holes, fabric sewing scraps too small to use in other projects, etc. I try to donate and repurpose as much as I can, but do not know what to do with what can't be reused in any way. That's a great idea. I think we all have a lot of holy socks and stuff that...
So very thoughtful of you to ask. So thank you for donating otherwise. But you can still donate those items along with your other usable or resalable types items, because they'll end up in that recycle textile bale, and it'll go to another sort house where they'll identify which way to send it. There's a lot of technology out there right now that talks about how they re-separate by threads. And so all that stuff is part of their formula in figuring it out. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about what's going to happen with the textile market, and there's fast fashion. There's currently legislation in California where they're saying, you know, the manufacturer of the textile is going to have to be accountable for that textile from the start all the way to its end use, and they'll end up with some sort of a mandate around how much of their materials from new to recycle is actually either put in landfill, or they'll have to be able to track that at some point in time.
Yeah, interesting. We all know legislation that starts in California can spread sometimes to other places. Wesley, you know, we've been talking about sustainable fashion and recycling. What would be your big message for consumers? There are going to be a lot of people shopping for gifts in the near coming months. What is it? Is it buy less? Is it to prioritize thrifting or repurposing? What can consumers really do? That Goodwill folks are like, yeah, I'd say that. What can consumers really do with sustainability in mind?
I mean, I always say, repurpose, shop at Goodwill or other stores like that. And then if you have to shop at like a big name brand, keep it small. I know like influencers are always doing like big hauls from all these fast fashion brands, and that encourages that sort of behavior, but that you never end up wearing all of those. And sometimes obviously you'll never end up keeping most of it. And then just, I know it's sometimes always fun to get a handmade present. So if you know how to sew, I would always love to get like a handmade sweater is sometimes the nicest thing anyone could give you. So just making your own stuff or shopping locally especially is also another great way.
Okay, great advice. Well, I've been talking with Ohio Valley Goodwill Industries President and CEO Mark Heemstra and Soft Goods and Salvage Supervisor James McGee and University of Cincinnati Sustainable Fashion Initiative Student Lead Wesley Beisel. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.